Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to episode 13 of season 2 of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And it's a real pleasure to be part of the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge. This is the sixth time that I've been doing this. For those of you who need a refresher, National Podcast Post-Month happens every November. The challenge is simple. You produce, perform, edit, and post a podcast episode every day for 30 days. By the end of November, you have 30 completed episodes. This has been a blast. I've loved doing it ever since I started. It's great to have this big cluster of completed work ready for others to enjoy. As a writer myself, I always like hearing different stories about how concepts were put together by the author. And that's what I've decided to do with this one. I wanted to go back to my history as a writer. I realized that I wrote a lot more for the stage and screen than I thought. By this point, this is my sophomore year of college, and I've already completed a feature film script. I've already completed a feature-length screenplay, Waiting in the Wings, as a favor for someone else. And it was also meant to be kind of an exercise for me to see how I am at writing that style format, to see how I did as a writer and see if I could possibly go forth with this and see what happens. By my sophomore year, I've already done the feature-length script. I've already done some short films. Some short film scripts. I've done my first one-act play, Murphy's Law in All Its Glory, which was a very humorous take on how I lost my own virginity and all those different stories that went along with it. By this point, I was kind of thinking about how much fun it would be if I tackled something new, if I just decided I was going to create something out of nothing and see what happens. And that wound up not being the case, but in terms of getting a feature-length screenplay. That was my next goal. I really enjoyed the process of writing a feature-length screenplay before with Waiting in the Wings. And now I wanted to go forth and see how I do with action. And the idea that I had was, and I pitched this off of my roommate, I said that I would like to put together a script that features a cop, a vigilante, and a contract killer. And all three of them have reasons to kill each other. That was the original idea. No idea how everything was going to develop. No idea what the relationships were going to be like. No idea why someone would wind up becoming a vigilante in the first place. Was there some sort of accident or something done deliberately, an attempted murder that would lead him to becoming a vigilante? What would be the steps? How would I go from there? But that was all I was thinking about. The more I kept on picking at it, the more I started to feel that I may have something here. So I kept on working at it. When I went home for spring break that year, I sat down at my old IBM PC Junior and I started writing. And it felt so good. And had me thinking, what kind of story am I trying to tell here? That led to one idea and another idea. At that time, I was heavily listening to Metallica around the time when the first Load album came out. Reload would still happen about a year or so later, but Load was out, and that regenerated some interest in Metallica around that time. A lot of attention was paid to some of their older stuff, and that's where I really kind of gravitated. One of the albums specifically was Master of Puppets. And that one quickly became my favorite Metallica album. Master of Puppets, I think, is a fantastic song. And I would actually say Master of Puppets is my favorite of all the Metallica songs. Another one that's really high up there is one called Welcome Home Sanitarium. And it was, the more I was listening to it, I could see different things happening in my head. And I realized I was listening to what would be the opening credits of this story. That was when everything really kind of ignited for me, because then I was just like, well, what else am I going to do with Metallica songs? There's a scene where the contract killer is going after this burnt out detective who is starting to find out about a person very high in power in New York City, looking to introduce his own police force, the Police Front of New York. That was what it was going to be called, the PFNY. And it was all spearheaded by this very powerful businessman named Max Randall. When I got to hear how everything would wind up working as a perfect opening when I heard Sanitarium, that got me thinking, like, well, what else can I use? What other Metallica songs would fit for different spots in this script? There's one scene where the contract killer makes his play and attacks the detective character who was kicked off the force because he had abandoned his partner to die. That partner is still out there, and he's got his partner with him as well. And so there's the cop and the detective who is going to become a vigilante and the contract killer. And the contract killer has his own team of men who beat the detective senseless and just sabotage him at this bar and wind up burning up his face and everything. Just like it's a really brutal scene. So I decided I was going to put in Battery by Metallica. And once that second one came in, I was just like, all of the songs can be done by Metallica, very much in the same vein as, say, Queen did with Highlander. Obviously, this would be one of those cases where I didn't think about submitting it anywhere. As the later drafts went on with the script, the references to the songs would eventually get dropped. But those songs inspired those major set pieces that are going to be in there. One of them being the time when the detective realizes how burnt he is and how he has decided to put himself together as a vigilante to hunt down the men who did this to him. That transformation has Enter Sandman playing in the background. As it goes on, more Metallica songs are used. There's a montage about the vigilante character shutting down a whole bunch of operations that the contract killer was working on. The montage is using Master of Puppets itself. And then later on, other ones would be used, like The God That Failed, Orion, the instrumental piece, was a huge inspiration for the final battle between the three characters. It was a lot of fun to put that together. Eventually, nothing wound up happening to it. That's one I would love to revisit in the future to see where that goes. By the time I finished that draft, it was the summer of 96, and I was staying at my mom's. That's when I wrapped up that story, which I would eventually call Seeking Retribution. As time went on, I was thinking maybe there's a sequel in it somewhere called Seeking Redemption, and maybe there's a way for my main character to have some peace going forward. Overall, I was really happy with that script. I was hoping that something would wind up happening to it. In fact, around 99 to 2000, this little indie producer who I came across, I think it was just an ad on the internet saying that he was looking for different projects. He and I talked, but I don't remember his name for the life of me. But he did actually exercise an option on that script. And he had a one-year option, and nothing wound up happening. And eventually the rights reverted back to me. But I didn't know that when I was finishing this in the summer of 96, that there was a possibility that a producer would not only really enjoy it, but would want to do something with it. I thought that would be the case for the script that I would write next, because while I was at my mom's place, a lot of the times I was on my own and I just wanted to have a project to kind of keep me going. I decided I was going to take my one act play, Murphy's Law, and rework it into a feature-length screenplay. And it took about 6 weeks for me to write, and it was filled with a whole lot of filler. It's one of those that I just kind of cringe when I look at, because never really gelled the way I wanted it to. But it still wound up being a completed script. And I can still say that I wrote that. However, what I wrote was over 120 pages long. So it's a 2 hour plus comedy. I never saw any real universal appeal, and I wound up not pursuing anything with it. Little did I know that years later, Judd Apatow and Steve Carell would come up with The 40-Year-Old Virgin. And that would basically just kind of, you know, completely steal the thunder from this script, which I called When Opportunity Meets Preparation. And just wound up not going anywhere. As soon as I watched The 40-Year-Old Virgin and I was able to take that in, I was just like, this would just be a very pale imitation of what's out there right now. So I felt it was best to shelve it. And so I did. I'm still proud of that script for the most part. And there were some, there wound up being a good amount of funny moments that went with it. But there was a lot of filler to it. So it was around this time, right at the end of the summer of 96, when I took a look back at my own production to see how far I had gotten as a writer. By the end of my first year in college, I had completed a trilogy of short film scripts with parts 2 and 3 of Phoenix Rising. I had finished the second feature-length script, Seeking Retribution. I had done a feature-length adaptation from stage to screen of my play, Murphy's Law in All Its Glory, that became When Opportunity Meets Preparation. The germ of an idea that I didn't know how important it was going to be for me. There was a lot going on. It turns out the very next semester, the one that started my junior year, I was able to take an Intro to Creative Writing class. And that one was a lot of fun because that one allowed me to try get back into short stories. It allowed me to get into poetry. I even got to do some poetry. I even got to do a scene from what would be one of the bigger ideas that goes all the way back to when I was in grade school. So there was a lot going on, but the big thing that would happen would be the very next semester, and that would be when I would be able to get back into taking playwriting, which meant I would be tasked with writing another one-act play. And that's what we'll be talking about for the next episode. I'm really excited to delve into this part of it because this particular play is one that I would love to revisit in the future. It also led to a 2-page version of something that would wind up being much bigger the very next year. I'm really excited to share all of this, and I hope that you are sticking around for the next episode. Until then, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to george@hesgotit.com.